You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Who's the Chicago version of Reniel Pinto?
Every team has one, right?
I didn't put it on the board.
Does every team have a Reniel Pinto?
Yes.
Every team does have one. Every team does have some guy that makes you mad at your television. Absolutely. How could they not? I just don't know if the Marlins have. You were saying earlier that Mike Dunn leads the Marlins in career appearances. Nolasco leads the team in career wins. Does Reniel Pinto lead the team in career fans shouting at their television whenever he was in the game? Because I can't think of another Marlin that
That's got to be Kevin Gregg, right?
Oh.
And just that one season.
That one uneven season that he had. Because he had a really good year, and then you could never trust him.
Ever.
Who's the guy for the Cubs? Remlinger?
I really don't. I don't know the reference.
You don't know who Mike Remlinger is? Oh, man.
No. I mean, the Marlins.
Reniel Pinto? Trust me, your Cubs teed him up for at least 7 earned runs one day.
The relief pitcher that you least trusted and most found annoying, when he came into the game, you let out an audible groan.
Edwards Jr.?
Yeah, I would. No, but he kind of won the World Series Game 7 with the relief pitching after Joe Maddon screwed up Lester, or Hendricks, I mean. I don't know. I have to think about it. Yeah, maybe Marmol.
Marmol.
I don't think Pinto's even in the top 5, by the way.
Okay, we'll come back to you in a second, but Marmol has to be it just because you couldn't trust him to throw 98 miles an hour anywhere in the strike zone. You don't think Reniel Pinto's in your top 5, Billy?
No. Jorge Julio, Heath Bell. There have to be more. Pinto's not up there. Pinto's just a name to me.
Kevin
He's
Gregg.
He's not even one of the most frustrating. Kevin Gregg wasn't great. Yeah.
These are all closers, though. Who is like the
In middle relievers, you don't get that mad at. You just get annoyed with
them. But do you know how bad you have to be as a middle reliever for me to remember how bad you were as a middle reliever?
It's like, a special kind of bad.
It's hard to do, man.
It is, right? Yeah. Like, Mike just gave him 7 earned runs as if he ever faced more than 3 bad. He was never allowed
he
to
didn't.
Face.
He didn't. He only faced Sue. Somehow gave up 7. It was incredible.
No, but you know what Dunn's magic trick was? Dunn would always come in and give up everyone that was on base, and it would never count against him, right? It would always go to the starting pitcher, the previous pitcher. That was like his magic trick. He always had like a decent ERA, and it's like, well, because you know he's going to clear the bases. Everyone that's on there is going to score, and none of it's going to count against him.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Was Mike Dunn's magic that he would allow everyone else's runs to score? But
I promise you better read the polls this week because there are some great names.
Let's read them right now. I am so far behind on polls from last week. We should just update a bunch
we're
of polls.
We're 3 weeks. Go back we're 3 weeks.
How far?
Because I want to hear you read. It's time to start a dialogue about Carter Verhaeghe.
At Levitard Show on Twitter, we've got to update a whole bunch of polls. We've got to get to funniest thing from the sports weekend. We did Stugatz's weekend observation. No, we didn't do them yesterday, right?
So
we,
I'm Ron Burgundy.
So we have to do them today. I got stuck up in the air. I wasn't sure whether we did the weekend observations or not. I did want to talk to Mike about the idea that the WWE is apologizing, and poor Adnan Virk. The WWE community is hostile to change. You do not want to get the wrestling community hostile. But one of the things the WWE has apologized for after, and they've done this a handful of times, Stugatz, and they've now fired the person responsible for having done this, but they've released some wrestlers like Mickey James and some others, and the news stories coming out around it are that they got their belongings mailed to them in a trash bag. And so they have fired the person who was doing that because it's not just releasing them, it's sending them their belongings in a trash bag as punctuation to their WWE career.
He headed up talent relations, and he was doing this for 10 years, but Mickey James made it public, and then Triple H, who has an executive role at WWE, and Stephanie McMahon came out and retweeted saying the person that is responsible for this will be terminated, and then they announced has been terminated. This person has been doing this for a long time, and they've all known it. It's kind of laughable that it became this big thing, but I guess if people didn't know about it, and the optics of when it's a legendary women's wrestler coming out, because Mickey James will probably be a Hall of Famer for WWE, it's a really bad look, but this might be an opportunity to just change things because Nick Khan, who came over from CAA, is now putting his imprint on stuff. He has absolutely knocked it out of the park in his position. They are rolling in dough in ways they never have at WWE. $1 billion for their WWE Network deal moving over to Peacock. He has paid for himself in full. Vince McMahon continues to shout him out on earnings calls saying, wow, we have the best business people we've ever had here. And now he's getting a little bit more power and he's putting some of his own people in place.
Stugatz, do you know the backstory on Nick Khan for the audience that doesn't know the backstory on Nick Khan? Because he was a young agent at CAA. He helped CAA basically run ESPN. Everyone thought that Nick Khan was running ESPN. He bolted from the agent business when he realized, oh, wait, this money isn't going to be coming from ESPN anymore. I'm going to run to wrestling where I can reinvent their business.
Well, remember how that was received. Why on earth is Nick Khan doing this? And he had the foresight. Why? Because he's in all the negotiating rooms. He's the one.
Right, but unless you knew, like people were saying, hey, that's the most powerful agent in the game right now. Right?
Yeah, it was just startling. Why would Nick Khan, who many on the internet are like, wow, that's the ESPN shadow president. He gets whatever deal he wants. Why would he leave that job and go to WWE? I think he made like $13 million last year.
I thought it was $20 million. I thought his salary was supposed to be like $500,000, and he just racked up a bunch of bonuses and stuff. What are some of the other changes that he has made? Because
Adnan, I think, is one of them, Dan. Adnan was represented by Nick Khan over at CAA. And Nick Khan's trying to get some of his own people there. Now, Nick Khan I don't know what his wrestling acumen is. I'm not a snob. I actually think it's good that there's new eyes on him. Vince McMahon's older, and the product has gotten stale to a degree. And Vince McMahon has always kind of fantasized about, he was in on Mike Goldberg, the old UFC voice, fantasized about having like a traditional sports voice calling WWE to make it more legitimate to the viewer. I think there are good moves. Adnan, because I think he's a play-by-play guy, has a little bit of a tougher time than acclimating than, say, Pat McAfee, who's knocking it out of the park on SmackDown. Different roles, and McAfee has also got wrestling chops. He's done that, and he's earned respect of people. Adnan's very excitable, and WWE fans are kind of having a go at Adnan a little bit because they don't like change. And the guy that he replaced was actually popular. It's hard to be popular at that
job. It's not having a go. They were dragging him last night. They were mean to Adnan last night because they do not like change. And as Mike said, there was popularity there in the position before. Nobody was calling for that change. And there's a learning curve with all of this stuff. But you have to allow people to find their voice. I don't expect wrestling fans to do that.
They're not the most patient breed. That being said, they don't ever go away. They like complaining about the product as much as they actually
still watch,
like
right.
the product.
Kind of like our fans.
Yes.
I am. I've scrolled back. Today's April 27th. I have scrolled back all the way to April 13th. You want me to go further back?
Go further back. I think the Carter Hagee one.
No, no.
I don't want to.
I don't want to do weeks of polls. So go
I have 2 weeks worth of them right now.
All right,
is that enough
let's
for you?
Bang through them right
April
now.
April 6th was Carter Verhaeghe Day.
Okay.
No, we don't want to go back.
Mike, I'm on the 13th. It took me this long to get there.
Without order, there is chaos. Keep going.
All right, hold on a second.
All of the Big Suey this week is just us recapping the polls and reliving our show. Think of it as like VH1's I Love the 90s, a Mystery Science Theater, us recapping the last month of shows.
What day do I need to
April 6th.
Jesus, hold on.
You're going to need some time to score. I got some stuff on UFC, Dan. You wanted to talk about Usman as pound for pound, which I agree should be in the discussion. An amazing knockout over a fighter who's notoriously difficult to knock out.
He was not in that discussion before that fight.
He was. He was.
He was?
And he was based on half a fight. Because I don't know if you remember Usman's last fight where he reshaped himself as a fighter. Remember, he was this boring fighter that would just stomp on Masvidal's feet and be a wrestler, really. And in his last fight, he fought Gilbert Burns and almost lost. He almost got knocked out. Burns brought it to him. I actually want to see that fight again now that Usman has all this legend because people have forgotten that Burns almost knocked him out. And then Usman rallied and then knocked Burns out in that fight. It was an amazing fight. And now he's got all this punching power that he's discovered and knocked out someone like Jorge Masvidal who's got an iron chin. And now we're talking about him for pound for pound. It's amazing how a spectacular fight can change the narrative around a fighter. Joe Rogan was saying, you typically see these leaps younger in people's careers. Dominant champions don't take these great leaps because Usman, in the last fight and a half, is a totally different fighter right now. At that age, it's not something that you see.
He's been a boring fighter, and the fact that Masvidal went into that fight having trained for 25 minutes of wrestling is a guy who doesn't get knocked out. And the specifics of that knockout, Stugatz, where if you saw the photographs, right, of Masvidal's head was resting on his own shoulder like he was, you know, passed out on a red-eye flight. There you saw the still shot, perhaps, of him getting hit so hard, he's wearing braids, that the water coming off of him quickly and his head makes it look like, somebody made this joke on Twitter, a solar system has appeared around his head. There's so much water moving around his head. And then after the fight, impeccably groomed in a suit that is clean as he enters this discussion of best pound for pound, he says the final five punches after that were super necessary, using Jorge Masvidal.
Really?
The quote that got Jorge Masvidal into the game and fame with the fastest knockout in the history of the sport. He used it against him after Masvidal had said that he has no punching power.
Being real for a second, you know, you put him out when he went and hit the canvas. Did it feel good to get some of those extra shots in there?
I mean, extra shots? What do you mean?
Maybe one or two.
It was extra shots. The ref didn't pull me off yet, so, you know, I keep going until the ref pulls me off. And, you know, those are super necessary.
I mean, the guy was dead.
So 12 seconds earlier, Masvidal is laughing in his face. Those things, the combination of things, is what ends up elevating storylines. It's why Dana White is always calling for his fighters to be interesting and entertaining. It's why he's always ripping winners who win boring after fights.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Dana White is a little anxious this week because he's feeling himself. That was a great card. It was a great return to normal. He is taking out the Las Vegas Journal, saying good luck coming to the next fight, covering the next fight, because they just said, hey, this seems a little irresponsible to have an indoor arena packed at 15,000 people with very few masks in sight. He's feeling himself a little bit. If you're going to do that, though, and I may have missed it, so if I miss it, they're clearly not doing enough. Get some vaccine messaging out there if you want a true return to normal. But he won't do that with his base. He leans all into it. They're not keeping politics out of sports. In this post-fight press conference, here he is championing Florida's Republican governor.
It's time to get back to normal, you know? And I know a lot of you guys in the media don't feel exactly the way I do about a lot of things, but you can't deny it felt pretty good to be in Florida this week and be normal. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. And when I saw people wear a mask, I didn't say anything to people wear a mask. When people saw people that weren't wearing masks, nobody said anything to people that weren't wearing masks. Everybody's just doing their things. You know what? People seem like they're a lot happier down here in Florida than they are in some of these other states. You know what I mean? Everybody's doing their thing down here and living their life, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So it felt good to be here. It felt good to have, the mayor, the governor, and all these people working with us to put on a safe event and for people to come out and have fun. It was awesome. Now, you know, what we want to do is we'll move all over Florida and, you know, do a lot of different cities in Florida to repay the governor of this state for everything he's done for us.
So there are plenty of people out there, Stu Gatz, who want to argue about the most basic things. And Dana White, this has been something that's been building for a while. And if you want the history of it, I find it fascinating. And honestly, as someone who loves the science of that sport, Stu Gatz, and you were here and living it with me when we were coming under, you know, a whole lot of people complaining sure. that yeah. we covered a lot of MMA and spent a lot of time with Dana White talking about fights before that stuff was as mainstream as it has now become. And it's been kind of fascinating to see how many evolutions have happened that have empowered Dana White, not just vocally and politically, but now have given him the real power to go into ESPN and be able to run things as they become a sports rights company and move away from some of the journalistic things that they had been using as bedrocks. And as he gets a critical article in his hometown newspaper in Las Vegas, and now as he says he will stop credentialing that newspaper because he doesn't have any reason to have any interest in journalism, but I've got a legitimate thing that has happened to me that has not happened to me before with the covering of sports in any realm. The stuff that was happening with him in terms of not wanting honest coverage of things around him are something that have soured me on the sport, as he is not paying his fighters. He is doing these things politically, and these fighters who do not have a union, I don't know if the number that Jake Paul is citing when he calls him out at 18% is accurate, but in that game, Stu Gatz, 18% of the revenue, when they're making that much money in the new streaming age and are now mainstream and are making money for ESPN and Disney in a way that makes journalism principles get compromised because it comes with power. And then I see them doing, Masvidal and Dana White, doing what they were doing over the last year in terms of being leaders of the movement that has led to some of the fights around here, and free to lead that way because they had so much power in the mainstream that nobody was saying anything to them. And he's running these events, and congratulations to him because there was a bravery in running those events. But
well,
some
the state's open, Dan. It's okay, wide open for business. Okay, but
before, or are you talking about for the last year?
I'm talking about before that, Stu Gatz, when they were using some of that money that you're like, wait a minute.
But also, you're watching.
Yeah, but I'm doing so less is what I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm watching just as much, and it makes me uncomfortable. And while I am a little uncomfortable with an arena full of 15,000 people in Florida where the numbers are
Mike,
okay,
you have to be uncomfortable. I'm more uncomfortable. Well, the commissioner of the sport coming out afterwards and endorsing it and saying it's okay. It's irresponsible.
You know what you're going to get
You have 15,000 people, though. Put a mask on, all 15,000 of you. Otherwise, you don't get in. That's it. It's that simple. I mean,
okay, so we're going to cup our hands, and the point I'm trying to make.
I'm not cupping my hands. Yeah. It's responsible.
Stugatz, I don't think there's anything simple about what is happening with this stuff where we can't agree on the simplest of things. Like when you say it's that simple, nothing's that simple. You can't get any agreement on any of this stuff, not even facts. You can't get agreement on facts.
Dan, if he says 15,000 people, you want to come, put on a mask. If you care about the sport enough, you'll put on a mask.
He doesn't believe in that. Okay. We've talked about.
That's irresponsible.
Okay, you're allowed to think that's irresponsible, and a whole lot of people are fighting against your judgment of that being irresponsible. You've got a whole lot of folks saying that it's an impingement upon their freedom. Stugatz, what is happening again and again in this country is some form of this argument, right? Because you just want people to be decent enough to care enough about others to do the simplest of smallest of inconveniences to care about someone else. And when you say something as simple, who believes the things that Dana White believes, something as simple as, can you put on a mask for others? It becomes, everything becomes a freedom fight. No, I have the right to be selfish. I have the right to be inconsiderate. I have the right to infect your grandmother. I have the right to my stupidities, my ignorances. I have the rights to file those things under my beliefs, my principles, my ideals, and my identity. And I will fight you on every last fact in bad faith.
You cut me off at the pass, Stugatz. You do have the right opinion. Yes, it is. And ideally, if we're going to go do this, let's make it as responsible as humanly possible. If anything, just for optics. But they're not going to do that there. Dana White, with his messaging, just in that clip right there, is stoking the flames of division. I think you have a social responsibility that, hey, if you don't want to believe in that stuff, if you still don't want to inject yourself with a historically quick turnaround time on a vaccine and you want to take a wait-and-see approach, okay, take less risk. But vaccines are working. Numbers are going down. Florida, if we can trust their numbers, because that's a different story entirely.
You can't trust the numbers, Mike.
Right. I'm throwing that out there specifically because they should be cloaked in all sorts of skepticism. But Florida, for the numbers that we've had, their approach, in with hindsight, is looking like, okay, well, maybe this could have been a different approach. You have Fauci saying, well, outdoor transmission isn't all that high risk anymore. So if you're going to do that, and the UFC is going to be part of this big reboot in big economies like Las Vegas, they're a massive part of that. I think you have a civic responsibility to at least get the messaging out about vaccines and stop painting it in this bullshit political coding that is just making things worse. Do you see what the vaccine situation is in this country? Basically, everybody who wanted a vaccine has gotten it. And we're sitting on stockpiles as India is on fire right now with this vaccine. We have a bunch of people that are either taking wait and see or believe it is some sort of political statement that they are making, a stance against science. And you have people like Dana White using the platform to continue fueling that bullshit fire when his company is going to benefit from people getting vaccinated. So let's stop with the coding and just go ahead and say, get this. It's available out there. Have fighters getting injected with their arms. Do what the NBA is doing. You have a PSA responsibility if you're trying to reboot economies.
Billy, A-Rod did it this weekend. He was flexing in the photo. He showed you his shot arm, and it was clearly a flex.
Arm.
It was meant to show off some tricep, and the comment section was a total disaster as people told him that he was again and again very familiar with needles.
Yeah, I tried to go through it and get you some good ones, Dan, but it was basically everybody just saying, oh, steroids, oh, Balco, oh, why are you putting it in your arm and not in your butt? Stuff like that over and over again. He looked great, though.
I've arrived at April 6th.
Okay, we will do that right now. So he was clearly flexing, though, right? A-Rod was flexing in the photo, correct, Billy?
I'm starting to think that most people are getting vaccines just to post pictures of themselves getting vaccines, unless because they're concerned with what's going on,
all right,
to be honest.
Put it on the poll. Are people just getting vaccines to post pictures of themselves bragging that they just got vaccines at Levitard Show? We go back to April 6th. Let's go ahead and update all of these polls. This is going to take a minute.
Better name for the Panthers bandwagon. Panwagon or Catwagon?
Ooh, this one's big.
Yeah, it is a big one. 58% of the audience said Panwagon.
Yeah, big win for us.
Does Mickey Mouse get enough credit? Wow, man. 52% of the audience said yes. You feel like Mickey gets enough credit?
I really don't want to do this all the way back to
I don't even remember
April
the context
6th.
Of the conversation.
Is today the day to start a dialogue about Carter Verhaeghe?
Oh, man. I'm not sugarcoating this one.
Yeah.
This is the biggest poll of my life.
56% of the audience, Mike, said no.
No!
Yeah.
Crestfallen. Yeah. It's like
close,
you punched
though.
Me.
Ah.
Yeah. Oh.
Is it now time to retire the jersey of Pavel Bure? 68% of the audience said yes.
Right side of history.
Is Roy the most famous Panthers fan in the United States? 88.4% of the audience said yes.
Congratulations, Roy. Bells. You narrowly beat out Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, well, that's it, just in part because we have no idea where Kevin Spacey is presently.
Should the
and Ariana Grande, by the way.
That's right. I forgot. Ariana Grande came. There was an Ariana Grande night.
Should the she's from Parkland, I think.
Yeah, right? National yeah. Anthem.
Should the Panthers retire Roy's jersey? Of course they should. Bells. 83% of the audience said yes. Can you trick people in Davie with your bowling?
I mean,
this is still April 6th, right?
Billy, yeah, we're
what,
on April 6th.
Billy, what was, I can't do this. I cannot
we're
do
on the 6th. You told me to go back to the 6th.
I didn't
back
tell
to the
you
sixth,
to go back to the 6th. Sometimes Mike goes into maximum douche mode. We all know when it happens, and that's what happens.
We can press forward. I just needed an answer on the Carter Verhaeghe.
Did Alex Trebek care about the contestants? What were we doing there?
15. I have an important update because MLB Network has recycled their episode again. So I told you inaccurately that Ricky Nolasco had the second lowest ERA through the first five starts of the season. It was actually Jordan Yamamoto.
An important correction, Billy. I'm sure people were furiously being buzzards about it, saying, Billy got that wrong. Congratulations on correcting something that no one thought needed correcting.
Jordan Yamamoto.
Thank you. 52% of the audience said no. Get back to the 14th here. Hold on. Scrolling up here. A lot of Cody, a lot of Brock Meyer, big fat white face. Adnan, hey. Are you stunned that Kelly Olynyk had 18 rebounds last night? 80% of the audience said yes. Have you ever been disavowed?
Disavowed.
Oh, shit.
I think you had me getting my guts taken out of me.
80% of the audience said no. Does anything kill the buzz on secret agent talk faster than Malcolm Gladwell said? 58% of the audience said no. Is John Wick what Jack Reacher wanted to be? That is a great question. Like, that had to be your question.
Has he ever been disemboweled?
I don't know. 88% of the audience said yes. If someone plays the Bryan Singer card, can you beat it? 62% of the audience said no. If you were a man, would you like the nickname Mattress King? Good show. The 8th, mark it down. 57% of the audience said yes. All right, I'm scrolling up here.
Blaming Bernie Mac has stayed with me. For the last 40 minutes, I'm just like, wow. What a random memory to have of that game.
Is it more random than Billy's need to make that correction in the middle of correction. The polls? Like
yeah. That's a fact-based show, Dan. We have to be accurate.
Yes, he cleaned it up. Man. Good job by Bill.
Called closing the loop.
Yep.
No, I'm just saying that rubbed me the wrong way, him saying that they're champions. It's the seventh inning of game six. Get out of here.
I mean, clearly it stayed with you for 20 years.
Still in the 8th.
Proved him wrong.
It rubbed you the wrong way? What do you mean you proved him wrong? Too soon.
Well, we won.
He's dead.
Bernie Mac said the malfunction was a blessing. He was going to change the words to the song from Cubbies to Champions. And I don't know. I guess it was like a slip of the tongue.
If you're a four-tool player and the missing tool is hitting, are you a good player?
This is Lewis Brinson, right?
Yes. 88% of the audience said no. Person who says touche, over or under 80 years old.
Just as an aside here on Brinson, it made me think of how sad it was to you guys. I know, we'll get to it in a second. We've got plenty of time and plenty of polls to get to, and you didn't seem to mind Billy's interruption.
He's the Wayne Gretzky of under-the-breath mutters, though. Let him keep doing it. Yesterday, he was on one.
Yeah. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Stugatz the Wayne Gretzky of...
Under the breath mutters.
But I was thinking about Lewis Brinson, and I was thinking about Billy saying that he is officially out of options now. And it just seems like a terrible thing to have as a description on your career. You've arrived in a place and there's just a dead end.
It's
and they tell
the
you
plot of you're Jack Reacher.
Out of options.
Mike, you're going to laugh at me. Touche was not the word. It was tookus.
Oh,
you
no.
You messed those two up.
What? Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Am I missing something by night watching these like Avengers movies and all that stuff? I feel like it's a big part of pop culture I'm not in on.
I've never seen any of them either.
Same. I don't feel like I need to, though. Like, there's nothing about me that's like, I need to know what everybody's talking about on this stuff.
More I've skated through the last, like... 10 years without really needing to know, so I'm with you. I feel like I'm agreeing with you way more than I thought I would be in the first 2 days working here.
That's, I mean, it could be good or bad. It's probably bad. I mean, I'm viewed as somewhat of a joke. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Well,
I haven't seen a superhero movie since The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes, same here.
I'm trying to remember what happens. I know that I saw Dark Knight Rises or the Dark Knight, whatever it's called.
That's the one where they blow up Pittsburgh.
Is it? Is that the one? That's the one with Bane where he talks like weird as hell.
Bane is just tearing up the turf in Heinz
and
Field.
Troy Polamalu somehow outrunning the world.
Heinz Ward.
Yeah, Heinz Ward outrunning the apocalypse.
That movie. Yeah, it was Heinz Ward. Heinz Ward like catches a kickoff.
Right. Heinz Ward, who's like a possession receiver that never broke past anyone. He's outrunning the apocalypse.
Why are you a Steelers fan and not a Cubs fan if you seem to root for all of Chicago's other teams? Like not.
I know what you meant. I feel like this is a good conversation for our AMA.
Okay. I'll save it.
Explain my various fandoms.
I mean, it seems...
I do like the Bears,
it seems
though.
Like it picked all, like, the traditional teams. A little bit of a glory hunter, we'd call you in England.
Not at all. I was a fan of the Cubs since I was eight. How is that glory hunting? Okay, they were the worst baseball franchise in history.
Well, but, wait a minute. Isn't it when you just said they were in the NLCS?
Well, I was a fan of them before that point. Like, I didn't start watching at the point where they made the NLCS. Watched every game that season, except for when I was in school, which was every day because I was eight.
day Cubs baseball had to have been like, you know, was that like a regular field trip in elementary school? Day Cubs baseball.
Yeah, well, my parents were also big Cubs fans. My dad grew up, or not my mom, but my dad grew up in the city, so he used to take us to games all the time.
Do you find that when you're in Chicago, we really should save these. Well, last personal question. When you're in Chicago, does your accent come out more? Do you start calling it Chicago?
When I'm in Chicago, I sound more Chicago. When I'm in South Carolina with some of my friends and family there, I start talking like a South Carolinian.
Really?
And when I'm in Pittsburgh, I go full Yinzer.
Really? So you're a bit of a chameleon. I'm like that as well. What about when you're drunk? What accent comes out when you're drunk? Because like my personal theory is that accents are their most pronounced when people are drunk.
I think it depends, like, what part of the country I'm in. If I'm in Chicago, I'm full Chicago, probably. Yeah.
What was everyone's best school field trip?
I mean, when you're like 11 years old, like getting, you know, taken to Disney World.
I never went to Disney World on a school field trip.
Really? You have to go to Disney World for school?
Yeah, yeah, like on regular occasion.
We grew up in Florida, right?
Yeah, I'd say at elementary school we went, in middle school we went, and in high school we went.
For like a class trip, though, not like a
It was like an Animal Kingdom situation. Or like went to Busch Gardens once.
To learn about the animals.
You're meant to learn about the. Which is a complete.
You could just go to Zoo Miami.
My dad was the chaperone. He's like, guys, we're not doing the animals thing. Let's go. And I was like, let's go.
I was a summer camp counselor, and we had to take kids to the zoo like once a year, but it's in the dead of summer, so it was brutally hot. And like the group that I was overseeing at the time was a bunch of like 4 and 5 year olds, right? So I had like 6 or 7 4 and 5 year olds, and I'm probably what, like 15 at the time, like overseeing them, which is like
way too
crazy
young,
when
way
you
too
think
young to
about
be in
it.
Charge of children.
It's crazy when you think about it. And like 5 5 year olds, right? And I was like, it is really hot. We're at the zoo. These kids are miserable. Let's just ride the monorail around a bunch of times because there's air conditioning, and convince them like this is awesome. They're riding a train, and they loved it. They loved going around just in the air conditioning, looking at the elephants or taking a nap or whatever they were doing. This was after like 3 hours of being in the heat, but God, the zoo wasn't one of my favorites. I remember seeing Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat one time in like a school play. I don't know why.
God, I hated that musical. I hate that. That is my least favorite musical.
I don't remember anything about it, just going to see it.
The songs in it are just terrible. It is so inferior to Jesus Christ Superstar, and yet gets so much more play in elementary schools, I think, and it really irritates me. And no, Cortez, that is the worst take I've ever.
I mean, a load of absolute nonsense.
Is absolutely right.
The Lion King is a musical, right? Like, come on.
For the audience.
It's a cartoon.
For the audience.
It's a musical.
Cortez's take is all musicals are trash. That is.
Wow.
The
horrible take.
I mean,
the worst, the worst,
garbage.
The worst take I have ever heard in my life.
The best musical of all time is the Blues Brothers. I don't care what you have to say. That's it. Thank you. Goodbye.
Imagine how happy life would be if everyone was just walking around singing and dancing everything. It'd probably be annoying as hell too, but I feel like people would be happier.
That's what I basically do throughout the day. I just sing songs from musicals throughout the day, and I'm pretty cheerful. I'm a cheerful guy, and I wouldn't have that without musicals. Musicals have changed my life.
You just said you were a cheerful guy.
I am a cheerful guy.
So you just hum show tunes all day, does it?
Yes. In the summertime, I'm singing La La Land, Another Day of Sun. Probably sing that every day in Miami.
Do birds land on your shoulder as you're doing this?
Cartoon birds.
This is why I'm excited to move and get a car, so I can sing musical soundtracks in the car to myself again, which used to be my number one pastime.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Are all musicals trash? And this one's going to be a little bit weird from Roy. Is Blues Brothers the greatest musical ever? Thank you, bye. Which is how
Roy said goodbye.
That for some reason. I don't know why he said goodbye to the show.
Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
What an odd choice. I don't believe, Roy, that anyone else would say, anyone else in the world, that any, I could talk to anybody throughout the rest of time who has ever lived, and I don't believe that anybody would say those combination of words together. Never mind just the opinion, which I think is rare enough, but Blues Brothers is the greatest musical of all time. Thank you. Goodbye.
I'm unique, Dan.
Recaptures the lost art of the jukebox musical, Dan. Are you familiar with the art form?
I am not.
Jukebox musical is basically what Moulin Rouge is. Well, Moulin Rouge is a bit of an acid trip, but it starts with Nirvana and then Elton John, and they're all songs that you have an attachment to. So when Ewan McGregor's character is saying is like posed as this brilliant songwriter, rather than have an original song that you're listening to in the theater and you're like, I've never heard this before. This song kind of sucks. How is this guy the most brilliant songwriter? He belts out your song by Elton John and you already feel something with a jukebox musical. Having songs that already mean something to you, then you just take the fast track to Emotion City.
Do you believe Stugatz is ever, like, I can see Stugatz having the same opinion as Cortez on this. I don't see Stugatz having a whole lot of patience for sitting in musicals. I will admit to having fallen asleep at Phantom of the Opera. I can, and which wow. is.
Come on.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry.
Such an audacious project for the stage.
I don't know. I don't know what
Andrew
to tell
Lloyd
you.
Webber just rolled over in his grave.
Touche. Or took us.
It turns out Andrew Lloyd Webber is still alive. So I take back what I just said.
$50.
$50.
Fine. Wow.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.